Blog Talk Radio.
If you find yourself in trouble, count on me, my friend. I'll get right up in trouble's face. You won't see him again. I've got the backbone, American. I've got the heart, American. I've got the will, American. Will you stand up, don't sit down? Stand up and don't back down. Stand up, shout it out. Stand up, let's make it loud. American, American.
Welcome to another exciting show with Southern Sense on Blog Talk Radio. So turn up the volume and enter our chat room, or grab your phones, call in, and join the conversation. Help us to restore the republic to this country and inspire the majority to be silent no longer.
Well, look me straight in the eye. Tell me what you see. I'll tell the truth every time. Yes, you can count on me. I've got the backbone, American. I've got the heart, American. I've got the will, American. Will you stand up, don't sit down? Stand up, don't back down. Stand up, shout it out. Stand up, let's make it loud. American, 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 American.
Well, good afternoon to another exciting American afternoon here on Blog Talk Radio with Southern Sense. I am your hostess with the mostest, the radio chick, Annie, along with my co-host, Cool Mike. Good afternoon, Cool Mike.
Hello, hostess with the mostest for this beautiful Friday afternoon. Welcome, everybody, to Southern Sense. Always a pleasure to be in the presence of the queen of Blog Talk Radio, Annie. Tesla's the dean. You are the queen.
So, you say that to all the girls.
And yeah, but you all don't know each other, so you're not supposed to know it. However, another continuation of our series regarding the 20th district out of the state of Florida, and very excited to have Joe Kaufman here today.
Yeah, we're going to be calling him and bring him in very, very shortly. I posted up in the chat room a thank you letter I got from the Healing Heroes Disabled Vet outing, and I want to say to everyone that was listening in, that called in, that talked to the vets along with us, you helped make it happen, so this letter also goes out to you. And I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for making that a fantastic show. So if you want to see the thank you letter, click on the twit pic I just put up in the chat room.
I also had a letter. I'll forward it to you, and if you want to post it on there, from one of the individual mothers who listens in. And she said, we're two for two, meaning both times you have read about the veteran in our tribute, our show tribute, you have basically put her in absolute tears and said to thank you that she listens to Blog Talk, not just politics, but several of the other categories. And we are the only show, well, I'm actually involved in the only show that I do, are dedicated in memory of our wonderful heroes. And also, as Andrew Ian Dodge joins us, we're really the only people who really reach out to the quote-unquote smaller candidates and have them on as guests. Most people don't give them time of day.
Absolutely. And today we have a special honor, and you're going to introduce that. And I ended up doing some research on the gentleman, and there really wasn't a lot out there. And I ended up piecing different reports together, so I have something after you do the introduction.
Okay. First of all, welcome, everybody. We are glad you are here. For those who do follow the show, Southern Sense also is on Facebook as well as Twitter. Please feel free to friend request us. Now feel free to block you if I don't care much for you. But anyway, you're more than welcome to join and follow us. This is just a start. All summer long, we're going to be having great political guests. Annie and I work diligently. Actually, all of our alliances in the conservative side work very hard. But today's broadcast is in dedicated and loving memory of Army First Lieutenant Jonathan P. Walsh of Cobb, Georgia. He was assigned to the 2nd Battalion of the 504th Infantry, the 1st Brigade Combat Team. He was an 82nd Airborne Ranger or Airborne Division. He was out of Fort Bragg, North Carolina. He died on April 22nd in Afghanistan of wounds suffered from an IED. Annie can take it from here. I think, Annie, in this dedication, I think I also had a hard time finding information. So whatever you got is great.
All right. Digging up between a couple of different news outlets, I've pieced this together that the body of 1st Lieutenant Jonathan P. Walsh, 28, a soldier from Cobb County, Georgia, who died in Afghanistan, returns home Wednesday. This was written on May 4th. Walsh died April 22nd in Paktia, Afghanistan. He died when enemy forces attacked his unit with an improvised explosive device. Walsh graduated from Kennesaw State University in Georgia and worked in the financial services industry before joining the Army in March 2010. He was assigned to the 82nd Airborne Division in August 2011. An honor escort of police officers and motorcycles ridden by veterans displaying the U.S. flag, the unit flag, and the Gadsden flag accompanied his remains, leaving Dobbins Air Force Base at approximately 10:30 a.m. on Wednesday. The route continued down Cobb Parkway to Blue Springs Road, which then passed North Cobb High School, where he attended, then down Main Street in Kennesaw. The procession turned on McCollum Parkway to go to Kennesaw State University, where Walsh graduated, which was lined with citizens holding American flags and who saluted in silence as the procession passed. Lieutenant Walsh was the first Kennesaw State University graduate to be killed in the line of duty. You can see a video of this procession, and it is in absolute silence, and there's hundreds of people there. And you see the police on motorcycles going first, then their cars, and then you see hundreds of military veterans with these flags on the back of their bikes, and everyone silently holding their flags at half-mast by their stomach and very silently saluting as his coffin went by. If you want, go into YouTube and just Google his name. It'll bring tears to your eyes.
Well, thank you, Annie. As always, we're a tribute to our troops. I don't want to get too far into it, it's very emotional. When I write up these dedications, and I do them twice, sometimes this week I filled in for Doc Jones, which sometimes by the end of the dedication, I am just in tears. And it's almost like you think, I can't handle this. But you know what? We can. What we did with the Wounded Warrior, that show, once it got off the ground, was unbelievable. That is, in my lifetime, the best show I've ever been a part of as far as hosting. I mean, having these veterans on here, all of them disabled, none of them mentioning themselves. I mean, we had to ask questions. What happened to you? All they're talking about is their fellow, their fellow comrades, their partners here. I don't know what else to add other than these people are just incredibly non-selfish, non-self-absorbed. I mean, they're all about us.
Yes, they are. Now, I'm gonna take a break here for a second, and you've got some things you want to play, so I'll be back shortly.
Yeah, well, okay. Well, today's guest, Annie is going to actually call our guest today on the phone, but today's guest is Joe Kaufman, who is running for hang on. You got to... Annie, we can hear the phone ring. Okay. Anyway. Okay. Annie's got Joe on hold. So we're going to play a quick little clip on Joe. Joe Kaufman is running for Congress. against Debbie Wasserman Schultz. At least we think he is. We don't know since we last left off. The district may have changed in the musical chairs race. But let me read the show description to you regarding regarding the show. Let's see. Joe Kaufman is not your standard Republican. He is a lifelong Republican. He's not a rich lawyer or even a politician. He has been an active member of the local community for over 17 years. Now he's making a run for federal office. He's sick of the day-to-day do-nothing officials from both parties that do nothing for we the people. Also joining us later is Andrew Ian Dodge, who is not only a great friend of the show, he is running for U.S. Senate out of Maine. Oh, boy. Andrew's story just gets more and more exciting. However, here we have a very heated race in the Fort Lauderdale area. Ralph Lanier hopefully will join us, who is the director of the NFL Fan and Pneumonium, who is a resident of Joe's district. This is a nationwide race. As we know, there are hundreds of races for Congress. This one stands out because it's against, obviously, Debbie Wasserman Schultz. We're going to play a quick little couple-minute clip on Joe, and then we will bring him on so you can meet, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Joe Kaufman, who is married to the beautiful Emily, which is the best name in the world for a female because it's my mother's name. Here's Joe. Well, at least we think here's Joe. Hang on. I got to refresh this.
We always have these little glitches.
Never have them up until we are ready to roll.
They always work in rehearsal. But
tell you what, Joe's here live if you need him.
Since we got Joe live, let's just go with you, Joe. Joe, welcome to the program.
Okay, I'm here at the Presidency 5 convention straw poll, and I heard about Joe Kaufman for the first time this weekend. Never met him before, had an opportunity to get some information on him, and now I have him in the flesh. And Joe's going to tell us a little bit about himself and why he's running in Debbie Wasserman's district.
I'm Joe Kaufman. I'm running for U.S. Congress against Debbie Wasserman Schultz. I am a lifelong Republican. When I was a kid, I campaigned for Ronald Reagan. My first vote cast was for George H.W. Bush when I was in college, in the College Republicans. I worked for G. Gordon Liddy as his assistant producer, and I worked for Jeb Bush as a writer for his magazine Impact. For the past 10 years, I've been fighting to protect this country, doing counterterrorism research, writing, and lectures for the David Horowitz Freedom Center and the Hudson Institute. I got into this race also to protect my country. Just as I did for the past 10 years, I see the problems that are going on in the country, not necessarily with regards to terrorism, but with the economy and everything about that, with the jobs and the housing crisis and all of that. And this is my way of protecting the nation. I will say it, and I know it's politically incorrect, but in order to defeat a Wasserman, it takes a Kaufman. And my wife, Emily, and I, my wife who was born and raised in a small little Jewish town in Lima, Peru, and lived in Israel for many years, when we go into those synagogues, they embrace us, and that's very important for this district. As well, the district is made up of 20 to 25% Latinos, and it's very important for them to know that my wife is from Lima, and my wife's family, her parents, still live in Lima under Ayanto Amala, this new Chavezite, this individual that right when he got elected, he went to visit Chavez in Venezuela and Castro in Cuba, and talks about how he'd like to implement things that Chavez has done because he likes Chavez so much. So we bond in that way, and I think it's so important for all of the districts, all of the citizens of the district to know that there is someone out there that will work for them, that will work for the people, because it's really for the people, by the people, and of the people, and really that's how I live my life, and that's how I believe a congressman should act. It's not about me. It's really about America and about where we stand with America. Do we want America to fall, or do we want America to prosper? And I want America to prosper, and that's why I'm fighting to protect her every day. Thank you so much.
All righty, ladies and gentlemen, with that being said, let's welcome Joe Kaufman to the Southern Sense Radio Show. Joe, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, and I must say, Joe, working with your staff, Emily and others, have been absolutely wonderful when you deal with a lot of these campaigns. sometimes you almost wonder halfway through, do I even want this person with all the rest? Your people were incredibly awesome, almost as if they were serving. Go ahead.
No, I just it's a pleasure working with individuals that are so easy to get along with and do all the work that they do. It's amazing, and I thank them for it.
Okay,
well,
we have Doc Jones
I...
who wants to jump in too. So, Doc, I'm going to unmute your mic. We're going to pass it to Annie, and we'll take turns. Go ahead.
What I happen to like is when you call someone's office, you get an actual living, breathing person and someone who can answer your questions and point you in exactly the right direction instead of getting, well, leave a message. I mean, I try to call Lindsey Graham's office and I get so much runaround, but I call Joe Wilson's office or Senator Mint's office. They pick up the phone and they talk to you, and you seem to be like that type of a person.
Well, I really care about what I'm doing, and I truly believe that I because of my background, I need to do this, and so I'm trying to do it in the best way possible. And I also want to thank you for having me on today. It's always an honor to speak to the people, and I thank you so much.
No, it is a pleasure to have you here. I was looking at your website, and you've got a couple of fantastic endorsements: Sarah Palin, Sharon Angle. I met Sharon Angle when they were having the Republican debate, the first one in Tampa. I was down there with the Tea Party down there. I was at the debate. Let's see, we got military vets.
And I want to mention, regarding the Tea Party, I actually announced my candidacy at the Tea Party in Fort Lauderdale, and it was actually leaders of the Tea Party that convinced me to run for this office. So it's the Tea Party is very important to me and everything they stand for, and that's why I stand with them. Holding the Gadsden flag, and I will continue to do so after I get into the U.S. Congress.
Oh, were you at the one where Alan West spoke when we were on the corner? That was like a July 4th weekend?
I have definitely been to events where he spoke. No. I was at the Tax Day one in April 2011. I believe he was a speaker there as well. I believe he was.
All right, because I think it was July 3rd, 2009 when he spoke, and he brought a whole busload of people with him. And here they are in hats and dreads, and everyone's wondering, are we being infiltrated? And I kept on saying, no. Look at the signs. Look at the signs. Everything's spelled correctly. They're acting calmly. They're mixing and mingling. They're with us. And Alan Wilson, when he got up there, said, I want you to meet my people. And it was powerful. It was everyone went silent for a moment, and then everyone stood up and was cheering. Matter of fact, I spoke at that one, and if you remember the young lady that had trouble because couldn't stand by on her own up on the stage, had to be held, that was me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, yeah,
Joe,
I know those events.
Annie, coming to our show, you never know what you're going to get. Annie is known for all... Annie's pretty popular with my friends on Blog Talk Radio as well. Couple of quick questions, Joe. Let me play devil's advocate here. You know, what the hell are you doing? You're just an average middle-class guy with a family. You know, you're taking on Debbie Wasserman Schultz, the quote-unquote goddess of South Florida. I mean, come on, Joe. She's revered by many, many liberals, communists, socialists, and other tax spenders of my money. At what point did you say, you know what, I'm going to make a difference. I'm going to make a run for Congress. And incidentally, I do have to comment, and I'm going to get yelled at on the first break, Joe. Your family, the family picture you have out there is beautiful, your family. And your wife, she's smoking beautiful.
Thank you, I think.
So what made you decide to do this?
Well, I'll tell you. People came to me and they asked me to jump into the primary the last go-around in 2010, and I wasn't about to do that, and I didn't even think about doing that. But it stayed in my head, and when leaders of the Tea Party came to me about 10 or 11 months ago, and they sat down with me and they told me that I needed to do this, I seriously considered it, and I sat down with my wife Emily, and she grabbed me and she said, absolutely, let's do this. And she's been amazing ever since, and she's been by my side and in the trenches with me since day one. I couldn't do it without her. But again, I truly believe, with my background in counterterrorism, in my background with regards to energy independence for America, with my background expertise in Middle Eastern and South Asian affairs. I truly believe somebody like me needs to serve in Congress. You know, when President Obama was siding with that revolution in Egypt against Mubarak, our peace partner, and the Muslim Brotherhood won and took Mubarak out of power, and then in Libya when we wound up bombing Muammar Gaddafi, and I have to say, you know, I hope Muammar Gaddafi is resting in hell today. But the truth is that when the Bush administration went to war in Iraq, Muammar Gaddafi had given up his WMD program. He had renounced terrorism. He was no longer a threat to the United States nor to Israel. And unfortunately, we went in with NATO and bombed him. And now we have al-Qaeda elements running the military of Libya. Now Libya is indeed a threat, and so is Egypt. And I'm sure Syria is going to have that same type of threat tomorrow when Assad leaves. And Assad certainly is a threat himself. But you know, I would say that it's better to know it's better with the devil that you know than the devil that you don't know. And I would have been the one on the congressional floor to be speaking out against this administration and their push for the Muslim Brotherhood to surround Israel and threaten Israel, and not only threaten Israel, but threaten the United States as well. So I would have been that one that would have been speaking out when really there was silence on both sides from the Republicans and the Democrats. And therefore, I truly believe I need to serve.
Yeah, I noticed that you were very active in help bringing certain elements of CARE and other terrorist-related organizations up to justice. You know, people were making donations that they opposed as a legitimate charity when, in fact, they were just funding terrorism. And you brought a lot of this to exposure.
Well, I exposed Debbie Wasserman Schultz herself when she was supposed to be the keynote speaker at a radical Muslim fundraiser. This organization emerged that gives legal support to what seems to be a who's who of terrorists that are on American soil, and I contacted, I wrote a scathing piece against her for a Front Page magazine, who I write for, from the David Horowitz Freedom Center, and I contacted all three of her congressional offices and called on her to cancel the event, and unfortunately she did cancel, but later her offices were telling the press that they didn't even realize or they said that they had no knowledge of this event and that they never agreed to speak there. But now if you go to this organization's website, they call her a coward, and they say indeed she was there from day one, agreed to speak, and this Joe Kaufman guy, you know, somehow got her to cancel. And thank God for that, because she would have been raising a lot of money for them to give to, I believe, evil hands, possibly hands overseas. Two of these individuals that the leader of this organization supports had given $50,000 to the Taliban specifically for the purpose of murdering American troops overseas. He gave legal support to a girl who the FBI considered a potential suicide bomber and who was deported from the U.S., and he gave legal support to the individual that threatened to assassinate President Bush and a ton of others as well. So it was good that she was exposed, and I'm glad in the end that they couldn't raise the money that they wanted to.
Yeah, and you also took a lot of heat. You went after Cyrus McGoldrick also. Now, I have to say I thank you, because I'm retired NYPD, and, you know, these guys work really hard, and it's not a matter of, I'm trying to think of the right word, being politically correct, but it's also a matter of knowing who your enemies are.
Well, here you have Cyrus McGoldrick that's leading the fight against the NYPD surveillance program regarding the radical Muslim community, and at the same time, McGoldrick himself is is posting online statements in support of Palestinian Islamic Jihad that does suicide bombings against innocent Israeli civilians. So I said to him, you know, they should continue their surveillance program, and in fact, they should be watching him 24 hours a day.
Yeah. Now, I know we have an ex-military guy on hold on the phone here, Doc Jones, who has his own show here on BTR. I know he must have a question for you. Doc Jones.
Retired Marine.
Yes, you
Thank
are.
You, sir.
Semper Fi.
Yeah, Semper Fi, the X part, Southern, there's no X there with Marine. That's for Navy and Air Force and Army.
Oh, once
folks.
Marine, always Marine. I should know I was married to one once.
Yes, indeed. What do you think your chances are of beating Schultz? She's well entrenched in the Democrat Party. She's a somewhat powerful Democrat operative. My question is when you decided that you were going to enter this race, I know that you knew you're going to beat her. You're going to win the race. At what point, where do you see her most vulnerable, and how do you think you're going to win against such a powerful Democrat?
Well, first of all, I want to say, well, thank you for your service, first of all. But I never would have jumped in if I didn't believe I had a good chance of winning this thing. And recently, there was an independent poll that was done that showed that if indeed I go up against Wasserman Schultz in the general election, I win. And the poll showed that the reason why I win is because I have high and positive name recognition with regards to Democrats. And I have to say off the bat, I'm a conservative through and through, socially, fiscally, and militarily. So I'm not somebody that's going to be voting for the other side or for any type of socialist matters. But the truth is that I have crossover vote. I have crossover vote with regards to the Hispanic community. I have crossover vote with regards to the Jewish community. It's true when my wife and I, as was mentioned in that clip of me, it's true when my wife and I go into different synagogues, we're embraced, whether it's the most conservative Orthodox synagogue or the most liberal Reform synagogue. It's very important in a district that's one of the heaviest Jewish districts in the country. And when we speak in front of Hispanic crowds, and I tell them, you know, mi español no es muy bueno, but my wife here is from Lima, Peru, and they laugh and clap. And my wife, who's a Spanish teacher and Hebrew teacher herself, she's not adverse to speaking in front of crowds. When she gets up there and she speaks, people fall in love with her, as I am. And so we're going to win this with the crossover vote, which in a district that's heavily Democrat, you need to. And I have that crossover vote to win, and I have no doubt that God willing, if I'm up against her in the general election, I'm going to win this thing.
Well, how do you stand against Ozzy DeFeo, where he just picked up J.C. Watt's endorsement?
Well, you know, I don't dislike this individual, but he certainly has a lot of money, no doubt. But I just believe that first of all, in the end, I'm going to have the money necessary to win both the primary and the general election. But I don't think, you know, just having money is going to win this. I've been involved in politics since I was a kid, in pushing for social issues, fiscal issues. I was involved in the energy field, so I know what it means for America to have energy independence, and certainly with regards to our national defense and our counterterrorism policies and our policies with regards to foreign matters. I believe I'm much, much more of an expert than any of the other individuals running in the primary. So I think it's great to have a nice endorsement. I've got good endorsements nationally and locally as well. But in the end, I think it comes down to the candidate themselves, and I believe that I'm better suited in the U.S. Congress.
Okay.
I have a question. First of all, Doc Jones, so you know, we did a tribute, one of our shows, to all the veterans who participated in Grenada. And I singled you out as somebody who was injured in action on Grenada. I know you were telling us that was one of your first go-rounds. So thank you for me, as always, for serving. And thank you, Doc Jones, let me fill in for him this week, one show. That's great. Joe, I'm going to make a statement in response, but I'm a conservative. I'm a true conservative. I'm pretty pissed off. I'm pissed off at the GOP for supporting liberal, just nothing of what we stand for. Almost very few Republicans stand for what we stand for. True conservatism, balancing budget, just everything. What's happened? And is Joe Kaufman going to join that group of Rhino Republicans, or are you going to stand with the conservatives? I mean, go ahead.
Well, I would say that when I got involved in the counterterrorism field after 9/11, it was specifically to protect this country that I love. I'm not somebody that tries to be everything to everybody, as unfortunately many in the Republican Party try to be. When you have an action like or a vote with regards to the debt ceiling and it costs so much or you place so much more debt on the back of this nation and then you refuse to cut spending or you just have minuscule spending cuts, well, that just does more harm to the country than good. No, certainly, in order to balance the budget, you need a great fiscal policy. You need to cut taxes. At the same time, you need to cut spending. And unless you do that, you're going to have high inflation. So I am a conservative through and through, and I'm going to push for those conservative policies, and I'm not my vote's not going to be bought or sold by anybody. And when I get there, you will see, and you'll be proud of me for doing the right thing. I will vote my conviction, and I will not be bullied into casting any vote that would paint me as a Rhino. I'm not a Rhino, and I never was.
Well, that's a great answer too. Go ahead.
Yeah, my concern is equal to that of Mike. Is that there's a heavy the population in your district is heavily populated with Democrats, and as you stated, you'll need to win over a lot of those Democrats in order to win election over Stokes. So I suppose that you're counting on having like Reagan Democrats, but Kaufman Democrats. Those who, fiscally conservative Democrats, socially conservative Democrats, that's who you're going to have to appeal to. Is that correct?
No doubt. And again, I'm not going to be lenient on my views in trying to woo Democrats to vote for me. But I will tell you that in the 9 months that I've been in this race, I've spoken to enough Democrats who have told me that they're going to vote for me. I'll give you a little story, and this has happened over and over again. I was invited by a former mayor of North Miami Beach, John Stembridge, who endorsed my campaign to come to one of the most prominent synagogues in the area, and everybody came up to me and they introduced themselves to me and all of that. After services, we went out to a diner, and I was sitting next to a couple. The husband of the couple happened to be one of the former leaders of the Democratic Party of Miami-Dade County, and he was at the beginning. He was talking about how great Obama was, and he was talking about Wasserman Schultz and all that. And I'll tell you, when he stood up in the end to leave, he turned to me and he said to Mr. Kaufman, he said, "I've been voting Democrat my entire life, and you're going to be the only Republican I'm listening, and it floored everybody sitting there, because they all told me that this guy is the liberal of all liberals, and I've been hearing that over and over again. So I know I have the crossover vote, and I know I could retain my conservative convictions and still get that crossover vote to beat Debbie Wasserman Schultz. She's not that beloved in the district. I rarely ever hear anybody say that they like her, let alone love her. But I will tell you, every single day, I can't tell you how many people say to me that when they see her on the television screen, they want to turn off the channel. they despise her. They're passionately against her. There's such passion, and I've never seen it, you know, with regards to any issue. She just brings out this passion from people that want to vote against her, and I would say that's not just true with regards to Republicans, but it's a lot of Democrats as well, and they'll be willing to vote for somebody like me. I'm not a threat to them. I'm pushing for freedom in America, and freedom for every aspect of America, and I think they can respect that.
All right,
I certainly agree too. Although I'm not in your district, I detest that woman, and she is no different than Pelosi. And I know they've actually sent little attack squads on you. As far as we'll get on that more later, but just her comment regarding this never happened before the Tea Party. You know, you have Doc Jones, myself, and Annie, who are all Tea Partiers. We're just your local hellraisers, aren't we? I mean, it's just they use these snide little remarks to send a spark, which ignites a fire, and it's all based on false pretense. Go ahead, Annie. I didn't mean to cut you off, but that woman, I detest that woman with a passion.
Yeah, we've had another BTR host on hold here very patiently, and let me bring him on. His name is Thomas. He has his own show, The Invisible Conservative, and he's patiently been waiting to ask you a question. Thomas, go ahead.
Hey, Annie. Actually, I'd sent you a message and told you to hold on because I had to run away from the computer. So I'm not ready to ask my question yet.
Oh, good going.
Let me go ahead and say this. You know, Mr. Kaufman, I lived in Pembroke Pines for 9 years, and I have a strong interest in what happens in South Florida, Florida in general. I still have property there. I really do hope that, you know, you'll be able to win this race against Schultz. And whatever I can do, certainly whatever I'm sure Annie and Mike and a lot of other the radio hosts agree that whatever we can do to help you, you know, in any way, please feel free to, you know, reach out to us and let us know what it is that we can do. I can be in Florida at any time. You know, whatever assistance we can give you in helping you to achieve your goal of ousting Schultz I would love to, you know, be involved in any way at all.
Well, I certainly need your help, and I will never say no to you. So please do so, and we will be in touch with you, absolutely.
All right, great.
Okay, I have a question I want to kind of throw at Joe. It's kind of maybe your first hard question of the day. And you want to be a congressman and you have to answer tough questions. I'm really sick of government using, and you've worked in terror, obviously, terror investigation. I'm sick of them using terror investigation to take away my constitutional rights endowed by my creator. I absolutely am almost a non-believer of everything they say. All I know is since 9/11, all we're hearing is, well, it's to protect you, when no, it's not. The TSA is an absolute mess, done by who? George Bush. Our rights are being taken away. Done by who? Our own people and our own party. Are you going to join with them in taking our constitutional rights, or are you going to stand with we the people, we the Tea Party? Because we're dealing with big wheels here, Joe. We're dealing with the machine of the Republican Party.
Well, number one, I think the National Defense Authorization Act went way too far. You know, we already have things in place that are doing their job and protecting the citizens of America. So there's no reason to go there, because it is a threat to just honest everyday citizens that can be picked up for anything by the government. And I think it's an unfortunate bill, and I would vote against that every time. With regards to the TSA, you know, I think, you know, after 9/11, certainly, you know, they should have looked at airport security. However, I would say that with regards to protecting American citizens, they've gone the opposite direction. They're actually hurting Americans more than helping them. Not, you know, and it goes beyond taking away Americans' rights. The TSA just doesn't know how to do anything properly. Period. This should only be in the hands of either the airlines themselves, who are experts in this matter, or for third parties that have expertise in these matters. If you look at like San Francisco, the airport there, they have a third party organization running the show over there, and they protect the citizens better. They're a lot less expensive than the government is, you know. And if they do the wrong job, if they do a bad job, guess what? They can be fired. But with regards to the government, when you have some guy there who doesn't know how to do his job, who really could care less about the security of Americans, they're not going to be fired. They'll get their money. They'll get their pay. But when you have the airline itself doing the job, if you have a third party doing the job, then if they do the wrong job, they'll be fired. And that's why the thing's going to be run much better. So the TSA should not exist. It should never have been implemented. It was a reactionary thing, but in the part of our government. But today we can see that it's not doing its job, and it's doing more harm than good.
Yeah. Now I'm looking at the news, and the House just passed the defense bill, which Obama's pledging to veto. But in the bill, there is a coalition of military clergy that were trying to have an amendment on there, giving them freedom from performing same-sex marriages. What's your take on that?
Well, first of all, with regards to our national defense, we need to do everything possible to retain the defense of the nation. Unfortunately, the Obama administration takes that as the last priority for the nation. And with regards to our Constitution, you know, it discusses two main matters. One is to have a prosperous national economy, and the other is to have a national defense mechanism to defend the citizens of America. And when you have our national defense as the last priority for the administration, then it will do horrific harm to our country. With regards to same-sex marriages, I'm against it. I read the Bible and I believe in what it says. And as someone that's a somewhat religious Jew, I just think it's a matter of respect. I would say that, you know, sure, with regards to the homosexual community, everybody, Americans, need to respect the homosexual community. There should not be discrimination against homosexuals, and they as an American citizen, whether they're gay, straight, or whatever, they have every right as an American citizen, just like everybody else. However, the homosexual community, the gay community, should also have respect for the religious community. They should understand that this is very offensive to the religious community, to many religions, and who believe that there's a biblical respect for marriage between only a man and a woman, and that's just the way that I feel.
Okay, well, that's going to bring us into bringing our second candidate running for Senate. He's trying to go for Olympia's snow seat in Maine, so we got a snowbird. It's Andrew Ian Dodge.
Yeah, how you doing? It's interesting you're talking about the TSA. I've just put up my TSA video in the chat room. It's a libertarian solution where I call for the TSA to be eliminated and to let airlines do it themselves. The problem with letting airports do it is that a lot of airports are public owned, and that when you do that, then you have public unions involved and the whole nine yards, and it'll be the same rubbish that we have to deal with right now. Just let the airlines do it. And you know, if you want to fly on a really cheap airline that has crap, security, then fly on that. If you want to fly on an airline like, say, El Al, well, you know, you won't get blown up, you pay slightly more. I mean, that's called the free market, right?
Always is the free market. Joe, a quick question, too. I saw a sign on Facebook with a protester behind you. It said, like, you hate Islam, or just more garbage that out there. Is this Debbie, or is this Karen, or is this who's starting these absolute smear lie campaign on against you? Obviously, you're a threat. So right away, when the lies and the smoke screens come up, you know somebody's behind it.
Well, I know that Debbie or her people have been bad mouthing me in certain areas. I know that for a fact, and I also know that she's been in contact with all of the different synagogues that my wife and I have attended, telling them that she's still the congressman, because I feel that she at least feels I'm a threat to her. To her remaining in office, but though that sign calling me a racist, which I never was and never will be, it was coming from that group CARE, this Hamas-related organization. They don't like the fact that I call it as I see it. They don't like the fact that I've exposed their group and have done some harm to their organization, a lot of harm to their organization. And I'm trying to get that organization shut down because, you know, if Hamas is on the U.S. State Department list of foreign terrorist organizations, then certainly an organization that was created by Hamas that's helped finance Hamas terrorism, they should be shut down as well. And they take the tactic that I somehow hate all Muslims. But I understand that because I'm certainly a threat to their existence. They're going to try to lie any way they can in order to discredit me, but I'm proud of my work and I always will be.
Did they provide any proof? I mean, obviously, if I say you're a thief, I have to provide something that shows you steal. Have they provided any proof? So,
they never provide proof because there is none. You know, if my writings against them are I back everything up that I say. With regards to that organization and any other organization connected to terrorism, I back it up all of it with proof all the time. When they call me a racist and they say I'm lying, you'll never see anything.
All right, Andrew, you used to work with the UK Bow Group, a Bow Group that was run by former Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher.
Actually, it's not the Bow Group. The Bow Group is someone else I worked with. I worked for the Bruges Group. It's very complicated, I know, I'm sorry. But the Bruges Group was the one set up by her. It's still around. The Bruges Group was set up by Thatcher. She's the patron. And it was independent of the Conservative Party. And it works with anybody who's Eurosceptic, whether they happen to be Labour or UKIP or Tory or whatever. Where the Bow Group is actually an internal conservative organization. Where its members are also members of the Conservative Party, if that makes it simple, because I was actually a member of quite a few groups that Margaret Thatcher was patron of, but the Bruges Group was the only one where she got me a job with them.
Well, my question was: do you have a lot of CARE movement up in Maine?
We don't really have that much because we don't have a large Muslim population. Although the Catholic Charities of Maine, for some strange reason, decided that it was a really clever idea to invite a whole bunch of Somalis to Maine because we were too white. And needless to say, in certain parts of Maine where there are large Somali communities, they have problems with a crime. And the reason the Somalis are such a tough nut to crack when it comes to drug dealing is because they don't take it themselves. They know and there's all kinds of fascinating things where they share they have a perch and they share a phone, so they rent out a phone for clients in parentheses, and because they don't use the stuff themselves, they don't suffer the same consequences as lots of other drug dealers, and they're far more efficient and thus harder to crack because they if you excuse the term because they don't have that weakness of actually being drug addicts, drug users themselves.
All right. Well, the main reason why I ask that is because your border, you know, with Canada, and they do have a large Pakistani and other Middle Eastern enclaves up there.
Yeah, and Montreal especially. Montreal is full of them. But Montreal is a fair clip away from Maine. We don't really have that much of a problem, but I've admired Kaufman's efforts from afar. I have quite a few friends who I think are mutual with Joe Kaufman, and I wish him all the luck. As you were discussing earlier, this is a frustration that, and I wrote a piece which I can share on the ratchet effect, I call it, where it doesn't matter whether they're Democrats or Republicans. When they come into office, they ratchet it up and reduce our rights. Doesn't matter. Different excuses, but it's the same result. And that's why I'm pleased to be a libertarian, because it's difficult for me to support the Republican Party when in office the Republican Party has been as bad, obviously not as bad as Obama, but have been very bad with our personal rights. And some of the main pushers of these stupid rules online, PIPA, HR 1981, and all the rest of these laws are Republicans. They're not Democrats who are pushing these laws. And so to think that having the Republicans dominate the Senate and maybe the White House would necessarily improve the attack on our individual rights, whether offline or online, is a nonsense. And when I hear Republicans say that, Joe, you're an exception. I know you're a good man. I have it from people that I know very well that I trust that you're a good man. You're accepted from this conversation.
I'm going to throw a question to both of you, and this is going to be a challenging question.
All right, but remember, we got Thomas still on the line, too, waiting patiently.
The vote is tied.
Yeah.
This is the internet kill switch.
Yep.
You are going to break the – it is an internet kill switch. We'll start with Joe. Paper gets pushed in front of you. You're on the clock.
And what – forgive me, but what is the question?
The internet kill switch. It's going to be introduced by Joe Lieberman and that idiot from my state. This guy, Carl Levin, has been in office like double years I've been alive.
Senator Snow was backed that initially as well. She introduced it with Jay Rockefeller in its initial form.
Okay.
Well,
I
think that when we talk about, which is what I believe you're talking about, a threat to what they were saying was a threat to intellectual property, and they were saying that they were going to try to stop the theft of intellectual property. Is this what you're referring to?
Would you like me to explain the internet kill switch? Is something that Snow and Rockefeller introduced, which would give the president, if he deemed it necessary, the ability to shut off the internet to American citizens. It's been sort of reintroduced in various forms. I've campaigned against it, so there's your answer, obviously. It was introduced and didn't go anywhere under Bush, introduced by Snow and Rockefeller. And then under Obama, Collins and Lieberman introduced it as well. And it's fizzled so far, but they keep bringing it back. Basically, they want to shut off all of our access to the internet, Americans' access to the internet, if government deems it under threat.
And I would say that certainly I agree with that. And I would also want to mention one other thing with regards to the taxing of products. Out-of-state products on the internet. Right now, when you purchase products, you have them tax-free with regards to if you're purchasing it across state lines. And I see that there is also a movement as well in trying to
our
get
our
more
Tea Party governors is all keen on doing that as well. Yeah,
and I would certainly be a vote against that.
Me too. I agree.
Joe Lieberman's response before we bring Thomas on was to, I can't remember the interview lady from CNN. I think it was, I don't remember her name. But anyway, he said, China's president has the same thing. There's no reason why our president should not have access to the same type of tool regarding shutting the internet down. I think when somebody responds like that, tell you this, these people better pray I never become president. Man, I mean... China's president has it, so our president should.
Yeah.
Well, all we have to do is look at a place like like Iran when and they were revolting against the mullahs and Ahmadinejad. You know, Iran tried to stop them from any type of from communicating anywhere in the world. Unfortunately, we ignored their pleas, and because of that, Ahmadinejad is still in power. You know, it's amazing that when the Muslim Brotherhood, a threat to the United States, a threat to our friends in the Western world, when they are revolting, we support them. In fact, we go beyond that and drop bombs on their nation. But when the people that truly support America, that want to overthrow someone that is indeed a threat to the United States, such as Ahmadinejad, you know, we just turn our back on them. And with regards to the internet, we saw that back then when they tried to shut that down.
And Mubarak did it as well. He successfully shut it down.
Sure.
He had an internet kill switch, and he shut it down. You know, very simple. So if that's not a clue to so-called Republicans who are for limited government and freedom and liberty, nothing will be. But yet again, you still have this. They're proposing similar legislation that will give. And the problem is, and Joe, we're on the same page with this one, I think, is that they're
Absolutely.
Using the excuse of intellectual property to give powers that aren't necessarily only applicable to international IP rights. So
this is what I was mentioning before. I'm sorry to cut you off, but you know, if you just keep it as okay, we're going to stop the theft of intellectual property. Well, I think anybody can agree with that because we want competition out there. If a corporation is making a product, then certainly we want to give them the opportunity to prosper from that. But when you go beyond that into gray areas and into areas that say that we're going to have censorship, we're going to be shutting down anything, well, that's something that we can't stand for, and it's something that we mustn't stand for because it takes away the entire purpose of our nation. Our nation is built on freedom, and we need to live by that.
It frustrates me that a lot of Republicans, and even including some Tea Partiers, of course, the groups like the John Birch Society, which are completely blind to these things, the focus on rights is entirely stops at, you know, the intersection between you and the computer. They have absolutely no concept of our individual rights and how our First Amendment rights. And I mean, people support Santorum. You heard what Santorum said about the internet. He said we can't have this, you know, devil may care on free form sort of libertarian ideal of the internet. We need to crack down and limit people's access to it because it's dangerous. And there are people who support that nutcase. I mean, the guy said that the First Amendment is overrated. It just amazes me that there are Republicans who claim to support freedom and liberty, yet would limit our First Amendment rights and our rights to due process and our rights to, you know, where you can't convict someone without due process and everything else. You know, they want to give ISPs the power to shut you off completely from the internet, and there's going to be a central database where if this ISP doesn't like you, then no ISP will let you on the internet. I mean, you don't want to give the power to the government to do that because you might have posted something on your website which linked to another website, which linked to another website, which linked to something illegal, and that's what one of them basically said.
Yeah,
but
it's
a total
restriction of freedom.
Can I just say, you know, but I just have to say, you know, I think Rick Santorum is a good man, a decent man. I don't think it's right to call him a nutcase because he's wrong about that issue. But I think
he said that the founding fathers were wrong to put the word pursuit of happiness in the Declaration of Independence.
That's wrong. But if you look at all of these candidates, especially all these presidential candidates. Every one of them has their own cross to bear, so to speak. They have their own problems, I guess not any one of them was perfect.
Well, that's why I support Gary Johnson.
All right, let's bring Thomas on. He's been waiting very, very patiently. Thomas.
Yes, we'll bring Thomas on.
Thomas.
Ah.
Okay. I think Thomas fell asleep. Okay. We'll try him later.
Okay. I want to follow up with another question to both of you. Which, by the way, Joe, I have to tell you, I sent a link, Ralph Lanier, I think, would be a great asset to your campaign. He's the NFL, National Football League's director of Fandemonium, who's based in your district, who would be
okay.
Everything you're saying is just awesome. I sent it to your wife, actually. I sent the link to his page on Facebook. But here's another interesting question. I feel myself, I'm very focused on getting Joe Kaufman's and Andrew Ian Dodge's in office, because then being president matters, but having his hands tied on each end is more important to me, because that's a mistake we've made, I feel, as taxpayers. My question is for both of you, okay? You both win on Election Day. Andrew, you are a U.S. Senator, and Joe, you are a congressman. Obviously, you are approached by veterans who are in the majority, and then you have the smaller amount of group that was elected a few years back that have still stuck to their guns. One is Justin Amash from the state of Michigan. There are several that have been voting against. But obviously, influence, because these people are – it's almost like a daily. They're a machine. As far as pressure, under pressure from – the establishments of whatever it may be, not just the GOP, but let's face it, there is a lot of money out there influencing our legislatures. Here's two rookies, okay? We'll start with you, Andrew, and then we'll let Joe answer the question. Here's $1 million. Vote no on whatever it is, on a hanging cool Mike, because he's a terrorist.
I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't take it, because one of the reasons I'm no longer a Republican is because I'm doing things in a principled manner, and I'm certainly not going to go to D.C. and just jump into bed with whoever wags money at my face. I'm just not going to do that, because it's not my way. And I'll probably caucus mostly with the Republicans on many issues, but when it comes to liberty and freedom and all the rest of the things we've been discussing, if Bernie Sanders is on the right on the issue, and we have a collection of people that are Democrat, Independent, Socialist, and Republican, I'll go with that. I am not going to be whipped one way or the other by either side. It helps that I'm independent, but obviously, because we're bigger than party, and we all need to look at every individual issue on its merits and not pay attention to the whips or lobbyists. And you have a set of principles. Look at the set of principles that you were elected on, and stick to them, and don't let any of this influence. I mean, this excuse that, I get to D.C. and I'm under so much pressure, and that's the same excuse that you tried to use when you're in prep school or high school when you got caught smoking or drinking or doing drugs. Well, all my friends did it. We don't let teenagers get away with it. Why should we let politicians?
Well spoken. Andrew? Or Joe? Sorry.
Well, I would say, number one, the people that you're elected to serve certainly need a hand, or if they support something overwhelmingly, you have to weigh that certainly, because you're voted to represent the people. I'm sure Andrew would agree. Second of all, with regards to taking money, it's almost like a bribe, and you wouldn't want officers to be. My wife, she grew up in Lima, Peru, and when you come from an area like that over here, where you could bribe officers on a daily basis, and you begin to wonder about the next country that you go to, because you're not used to the fact that you're not allowed to do that over here I would hope that no officer would take bribes, and I certainly would live by that myself, and I do live by that. But there are also issues of a moral conviction. You know, when you stand for something so much, you can't allow yourself to be bought off just to vote another way. And like I said before, you know, I didn't get involved in the counterterrorism field just to make a name for myself or make any money or get any power. I did it because it was the right thing to do, and that's just how I live my life. And as a congressman, I'm going to do the right thing because that's just who I am.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you. And one of the things that I think, Joe, I you can correct me if I'm wrong, but one of the biggest problems, certainly with Snow and probably with Debbie Wasserman Schultz, is that they felt as though they were D.C.'s representatives in their respective constituencies. Instead of, we're the voters, we send you there, you represent us, you represent our interests in D.C., they turn around and they come back and they lecture you, and when you criticize them, they say, well, you don't understand how D.C. works, and I know best because I've been here. Just go away and shut up because you're an idiot. And
right. And Debbie, as the DNC chair, rarely do you ever even see her, you know, in the district. She's off raising money for Democratic candidates around the country. So she's hard to find. And when she gives a speech anywhere, it's usually hidden because they don't want, I guess, Tea Party types, you know, going there making a ruckus or anything like that.
You mean the woman that blamed the shooting in Tucson upon the Tea Party? Oh, come on. No, not
you know,
really. We wouldn't show up and give them a ruckus, would we?
You know, yeah. it was funny when Alan West, Congressman West, was running against Ron Klein. Ron Klein was trying so hard to hide anywhere that he would go because he was so scared of, like, anybody saying the wrong thing to him. And in the end, he lost.
Yeah, he deserved to. All right, we're going to try to bring Thomas back one more time. Thomas.
Yes.
Okay,
hello.
You got your mic on this time.
Yeah, I had to run. Anyway, looking forward to the rally and meeting your co-host in person, actually, tomorrow.
Good.
Yeah.
All right, you have a question for one of our guests.
Actually, I do. Actually, this applies to both of you because I just found this out this morning and I didn't get to watch the show. But Joe and Andrew, did you guys hear about the Obama administration's plans to start testing an anthrax vaccine on children? But to test that vaccine, they have to inject the children with a small amount of the anthrax virus. Did you guys hear about this?
No, I didn't.
Well, my friend, go ahead.
I think I've seen something like that, but let me tell you, if they run it by the FDA, it will take years for them to, whether it's good or bad, it will take years for them to ever approve it. And speaking of the FDA, you know, when somebody has an emergency, and certainly being injected with anthrax is I can't imagine that being a good thing. But somebody, when they have an emergency and they're on death's door and the FDA is taking years to approve a drug that they know could allow somebody to live. It speaks also about the FDA as well and the government organizations. Sorry,
right.
Go ahead. Sorry, I agree.
And then I just have a special request for both of you guys. And this, to me personally, and I'll explain why after I ask the question. But when you guys get elected, I'm not saying if. But when you guys get elected, I want you guys to do me a favor. Please, please, unlike many, many of the established GOP elected officials, please seek out and welcome into, you know, into your embraces, black conservatives, because we are out there. And our heart really is to be unified, because quite personally, we're tired of being identified as black conservatives when we feel like, just like anybody else, that we can really help those principled conservatives like yourself, like Andrew, even though he's a libertarian conservative, which I have no problem with that. But, you know, we can be a powerful voice and a weapon if we would just be embraced and utilized. And the mainstream GOP leadership, both at national and local levels, they run from us.
They're scared of you.
Yeah.
I'm good friends with Kevin Jackson. Sure. And I also know a runaway slave. What's his name?
Pastor C.L. Bryant. He's a dear friend of mine.
Yeah, C.L. Yeah. I know both of those guys. And I like chatting to them whenever they're very busy these days, but it's great to chat to them because it's refreshing to speak to any of them. And although there isn't a very large African American population in Maine, I have to say, in fact, at one time there were a handful, and one of them was a friend of mine at Medic Colby, a guy named Mike LaMontagne, who still lives in Waterville. They're not a huge population, but obviously, I will seek out nationally to talk to black conservatives and black libertarians, of which there are a few as well.
Yes, there are.
Because they seem to be, you know, there's some fear on the right, and I'm talking the broad right,
yes,
of engaging them because people have been so brought up in this manifestation of how it works. Well,
right.
Well, it's just like with Joe. Joe's Jewish. You know, there's the assumption, well, he's a Jew and isn't Orthodox, therefore he's probably a Democrat. Or if you're black, you're obviously a Democrat.
Right, exactly.
If you're in the music business, if you're, you know, a musician and a rock critic, you've got to be a Democrat. Well, why don't you ask the person first before assuming anything?
Exactly.
And that frustrates me intensely with the right, and it always has.
And I'll say that, Ms. Joe, I'll say that I'm proud to have the endorsement of Niger Innes, the national spokesman of the
Love
Congress
Niger.
Racial
Great
Equality.
Yeah.
Who,
cool.
Who we both were in the fight around the time when Mort Downey Jr. had his old show. I don't know if you guys know of him, but he's
yes.
one of the original conservative TV talk show people, and I also have had Michael Warren's big figure in the nationwide Tea Party, who sang America the Beautiful at our grand opening of our headquarters, and as well I stand shoulder to shoulder on many occasions with Pastor O'Neill Dozier down here, another proud black conservative who actually at our grand opening told God to endorse me, so hopefully that happens sometime soon.
That's awesome.
We're actually Joe's only going to be with us for a few minutes longer, so quickly, before a closing statement, Joe, let me throw a couple of just simple questions out for you.
Sure.
Tell us a little about what your favorite sports teams are, favorite fast food restaurant, a little bit about Joe.
Oh, no, please don't ask about boxes of beef.
I won't ask boxers or brief, for God's sakes, but we got to know the person. So you can ask Emily for that. Anyway, favorite sports teams?
So I grew up in New York, and I will tell you, it's funny, like my grandparents, I was raised by my grandparents, and my grandfather was a staunch Democrat. He always voted D, but he hated politics. And my grandmother was a huge conservative, and she fell in love with Reagan and Jack Kemp, and at the dinner table, it was always a fight, you know, of my grandfather talking to me about the Giants and the Yankees, and my grandmother talking to me about Ronald Reagan, and I was in the middle of the whole thing. So, I'm definitely partial towards some of the New York sports teams, but being in South Florida, of course, I'm rooting for the Heat, and I hope they take it all the way. And
Please tell me you're not a Miami Hurricanes fan. I know you're running for Congress. Please tell me you can't stand the Hurricanes.
Well, certainly, you know, I'm with if any of the Florida sports teams are or college teams are in a race for a win, I'm gonna support them, whether it's Miami or Florida or
true politician
or, USF or
what
or
he's not suicidal.
Oh man. Okay, and then my final question to you, Joe. Here's a question I've not asked before, because we like to get to know the candidate, the person. You obviously have spoken very highly of your wife. How did you propose to your wife?
Yeah.
Give us a scenario.
Oh, that was interesting. So we flew to D.C., and we stayed at my – I have a lot of family in the Baltimore area, so we stayed with my aunt and uncle in Pikesville, Maryland. And we were in D.C. Going, you know, throughout the whole mall and to the museums and all of that. And it was funny. Like I had, and it was in the dead of winter, so I had my winter coat on, and I had the ring in the box inside the pocket of my coat. And every time we had to go into another museum, you know, we had to go through the metal detector. So I would have to I'd have to talk to the attendant over there and hand off the box to them. And when I reached the other side, they had to somehow slip me the box, which happened over and over again. And I know she said she was getting suspicious about the whole thing. And in the end, we were looking for fireworks in D.C. This was for New Year's, and we couldn't find any fireworks. We asked the police department; they didn't know where any fireworks were. We were near the White House, so somebody said that we can go to the harbor in Baltimore, and they're having a show there, and the mayor's going to be speaking, and they're going to have bands and all of that. So that's where I popped the question in the harbor with the festival over there, and you can probably find those pictures on Facebook somewhere.
So did you get down on one knee?
I did not, and I didn't actually, and I thought about it afterwards, but. No, but the moment was pretty good. I had people take snap photos of her face after giving it to her, and it's pretty funny. But
great.
No, I didn't go on to me.
Well, great, Joe. Thank you so much for your time, Joe. All I can say is you have our backing. You've been a great
good
candidate,
luck,
and you stand
no,
by your
definitely.
Principles.
Good
thank
luck,
you so
Joe.
Much.
Be
well,
and Joe, you're always welcome here anytime, Joe. You have
oh, what's
an outlaw
Joe's website?
Make?
Joe's website.
Do you want to take a guess what Joe's website is? Anybody want to guess what Joe Kaufman's website is?
Joe Kaufman for Senate.com or Congress?
He's running for Congress.
Oh, okay.
But yeah,
Congress.com. And thank you so much. Good luck, Andrew, and everything. And be well, everybody. Take care.
Thank you, Joe.
Everybody,
bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is Joe Kaufman running against Debbie Wasserman Schultz. We hope, because we know that district is changing. And Andrew, I have to ask you a quick question, not to change the subject. But I don't know if you heard, and I've looked for it on YouTube, but I haven't been able to find it. What do you? It was not Maxine Waters, but it was Sheila Jack. Yes, I think it was Sheila Jackson Lee made the
oh,
statement.
Oh, that dumb one.
Yeah, she made the statement. Those musicians are lazy. Basically, she said what Pelosi said, but she actually like insulted musicians, basically saying they're lazy.
Of course.
I thought of you. I thought, like, you know what? That is such a stereotype. But anyway, how do you
our governor,
that
our Republican
someone...
governor, said that too. He said all artists are lazy, do not good for nothings, and why should I listen to them?
Well, we've got to explain why you're making that statement, because Andrew, you not only created games, because you are a gamer yourself, you also are a musician. You have your own band.
I'm a lead singer, a lyricist in my band, and I should have a song. I should. Unfortunately, my bandmate lost his father on Tuesday, so that's going to delay it a bit. And I knew his father, and it's all very sad. But I should have a new campaign song sometime in the next month or so. I'm going to get, you know, obviously I'm not going to pressure him because he's going through the machinations
well,
when someone dies.
Well,
but,
I've got your Cry Freedom up.
Yeah, okay. Cry Freedom, that was actually not written... It has nothing to do with the campaign. However, it's a song that people seem to like. And when people like it, I like for them to play it, obviously.
All right, so we'll play it so everyone gets an idea of the type of music you do. And this is you singing.
I'm singing on the chorus, not the lead.
Okay, here we go.
Wait a minute. Let's hit the drum roll.
You.
our guest, Andrew Ian Dodge, and his song, Cry Freedom. Matter of fact, Andrew put up in the chat room the YouTube link to his video of it. So if you want, click on it.
Yeah, that's key part. That's all key part. I just realized, thank you very much for playing that song. I haven't looked at the YouTube videos views for a very long time. I've got over 12,000.
Oh,
that's
cool.
That's really cool.
Wow. That's a great song, too, by the way. I really enjoyed just the beat on that, everything.
Yeah, cool. That's we're a studio band, and as I said, we're working on new material. But, yeah, it was inspired by 9/11 and the 7/7 bombings of London. And then a whole bunch of people in the Tea Party movement really liked it and adopted it. And we sent out an email, said, send us your pictures if you were doing a music video, and we're going to, because it's been played so many places, send your pics. And we got sort of like a couple of hundred pics, and we put in the best, and that's the video.
Oh, wow. You know, we're down to our last 4 minutes. I think very soon we're going to have to start making the show go 2 hours because we have so many great guests and so
Yay!
Much fantastic conversation. The whole time goes so fast.
Mm. Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does.
Certainly
By
does.
The way,
hey, Thomas, what am I looking for once I get to the Holt Summit, Missouri? What signs am I looking for? What address am I looking for?
Well, let me tell you the address now. Wait,
okay.
You linked it in the.
I know, but there's no address. Just give me an address to program in the GPS and hurry, please. Always a story. You're gonna.
Are you being an ass again, Mike?
I certainly am. Come on, guys.
Well, Thomas, why don't you IM him the address, okay?
Okay.
So
Andrew, last we left off, what's new with your campaign?
Well, we're rapidly approaching getting the signatures to get on the ballot. In fact, it's probably going to happen sometime next week, which we can talk about the process in the state in another time. So then it's once I get on the ballot, not much is going. We're fundraising right now, and please go to Dodge for Senate and hit that contribute button. Every little helps, and anybody who gives me a donation, $10 and above. You send me your email, I'll send you a free copy of my ebook, Drifting into Oblivion. So that's a taster. We're raising money, and because we haven't had the primaries on the Republican and Democrat side, this is kind of the phony war, because we've got all these independents raring to go, piss and vinegar, and we don't know who we're running against. So we can't really, you can't do any strategy because it's hard to tell who's going to win Republican and Democrat primary. I mean, it's gotten to the ridiculous point where someone says, well, so who's going to win the Republican primary? Well, it depends on whether it rains. I mean, quite literally. If it's sunny, the guy named Summers is going to win. And if it's rainy, it could be another guy. Anyway.
Not to dodge the vote.
Yeah, so go
hey,
to
Hey, way to go, Annie. I like it. Don't dodge the vote.
Well, we all had these great jokes. I mean, it takes a Dodge to plow the snow. When you want to get rid of snow, you need to Dodge. That all those good jokes, trucks and snow. But now that she's not running again, we're going to have to adjust our jokes accordingly to whomever is running. So we'll work on them. But Dodge for Senate, hit contribute. And as I said, leave an email when you hit contribute, and I will send you a copy of my ebook to anybody who donates. And you don't
fantastic.
Even have to say you come from this show.
Fantastic. And you're always, always welcome back here.
I will pop on from time to time, but do send me an invite because, I kind of get wrapped up in things and I sometimes forget when you're on. And it's always good to have my name on the byline because then we can plug it to our audience.
Andrew, on election night, when you are the winner, I want you to grab whatever instrument you play and let's just sing away, drive these people. Not only kill them with the votes, but kill them with your music, because I'll tell you, you are one talented man. I certainly hope you and Joe Kaufman will win this so we can use more people like you in office.
I'm going to put a link in the show notes before it shuts down to a great bunch of people. It's called Party on the Right, and they're doing a fundraiser for me, and there are a couple of other prizes if you give money, and it's called Party in the Senate. And I tell you what, if I become senator for the state of Maine, we're going to have one hell of a party. First of all, in Maine at Gritty McDuff's, and when we get to D.C., there's a nice watering hole whose name I forget. I think it's the Hawk and Dove, and we're going to have a party that will blow those people's minds.
Yep. Well, we'll provide the energy drink, and hopefully it is. Andrew Ian Dodge, everybody, candidate for U.S. Senate in the state of Maine. Thomas, I did get your link. Thank you. Your
okay,
address. Thank
and we're
you,
gonna
Annie.
Be back. We're going to be back again next week on Tuesday, same bat time, same bat station, 2 p.m. Eastern time, with our guest, Ozzie Defario. Join us Tuesday.
All righty. Good night, everybody, or good afternoon. Have a good weekend.